Welcome to the next episode of Ask the Insurance Expert, and today I am joined by Sameer Hafiz, who is the head of AXA Private Clients Middle East. Sameer, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure to have you here. Thank you for joining me. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Looking forward to talking to you. I know we've got a good bit of experience to kind of get into and hear a little bit more about yourself and the industry as well. So yeah, so to kind of start, we always like to get to know you a little bit, if that's okay. So could you just give us a little bit about you, how long you've been in the industry and so on?
I've been in insurance since 98. Okay, wow. So it's just been over 20 years.
Yeah.
Started out in Canada, just out of university. I did 4 years in medical insurance, which was nice. It was more of a takaful medical side, but at the time they didn't call it takaful. It was more self-insurance for organizations. After that, I moved to Canada Life, just working with credit card insurances. And then my parents kept bugging me to move to Dubai. My parents were here at the time since the early 90s. So I decided, okay, I'm going to just pack a bag and head out here. So I moved to Dubai in 2005.
Okay.
Fortunate enough to find a job immediately with AIG. I was with AIG for 12 years, worked my way up to being the head of the personal lines for the region. And then after that, when AIG shut down their doors for the retail business, I decided, okay, I need to find something else. So I did a couple of months consulting for a small, well, it wasn't small, but a startup company, which was exciting because it hadn't been something I've done before. So it was an interesting difference between working for such a large organization and such a small, nimble one. Yes. And then after that, I moved to Oman Insurance. So once again, I was lucky enough to find a job with a really good company.
Yeah.
I did that for close to 4 years. I was with them until I was a general manager for their Muscat branch, commuting back and forth between Dubai and Muscat every week. Yes. And then I got a call from AXA to join them. And because, of course, the commute and the opportunity was good, I decided, okay, might as well take it up. So January of this year, I joined AXA as the head of private clients for the Middle East. And now I'm in my, ninth month, and it's been an exciting journey so far.
Fantastic. So there's definitely a well-rounded experience there and a lot of different aspects of the insurance industry that you've been involved with so far.
Yes, yes, yes. It's been, close to 15 years here in Dubai, and it's been a very exciting journey. We've had our ups and downs and everything, but now we're hoping to look for a brighter future.
Yeah, definitely. Very interesting. Sounds great. And how is this kind of unique from what else is out there in the market?
The uniqueness of our product comes mainly from the service. Yeah. The competition, there's a handful of competitors we have that are in the space of being labeled as a high net worth insurer. So the way we've decided to differentiate ourselves, of course, we can match all of the products in terms of limits, in terms of the broadness of the cover and exclusions. But we thought the hardest part to replicate would be the service. So what we've done was we've built a very competent team in UAE already. And we've outsourced our claims to a multinational TPA that's supporting us globally 24/7. So anytime we have clients that are traveling to Europe, which we have, it's a very frequent occurrence for us, especially in the summer months, with their cars, with their jewelry. If they have any incident happening in Europe, we've given them phone numbers to reach us on. They can call us there, and the TPA is our extension of ourselves, so they can just take care of all the client's needs and hopefully help them come back without any issue.
Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like obviously a kind of a great product and also service is very important, very key. Which types of insurance are on offer for AXA private clients, and also how are these priced differently from the norm, let's say?
Okay, so we've added motor this year in May, a high net worth motor. AXA has always been successful in the retail motor. But what we decided to do was introduce a motor product catering to collectors, individuals with classic cars, hypercars, supercars, which are very common in the UAE. So we thought there was a gap in this market for us to enter and dominate. And we've had that experience for some time. We have a sizable portfolio at AXA that we needed to leverage. So what we did was introduce a motor, and we've revamped slightly the home product that we have now. So that product now is a lot richer, is a lot clearer, which we're happy about. The pricing is very bespoke, and the same with the covers. You know, add or remove exclusions is depending on the clients. You know, you have clients with multi-million dollar collections of watches, of art, of contents, the building. I mean, in some cases, some of our collectors like to wear these items on them daily. In other cases, they're collectors, they want to keep them in the safe. Obviously, the price matters in that we also make a recommendation to them. Some cases, like, you should keep this on the safe. You should keep this in the bank vault. You know, it depends on what the client's comfortable with, and the price, it follows what the client is willing to do. We are in a very risky business, of course. I mean, some of these items, as you can imagine, can be quite valuable.
Yes.
So we're very selective with the clients that we choose. We want to make sure that the client cares about his assets as much as we would care about them. So again, depending on the profile of the client, you know, the price can change, and the excesses can change. The coverage can be richer or more limited, you know, so all of that can change. So for clients that have a huge collection of cars, of course, the driving of those cars can be quite limited.
Yeah.
And we recognize that. So in turn, we reflect that into the pricing. A daily use car is a vastly different risk than a car that's been stored and accumulating value. Because a lot of these guys, of course, they store these cars, keep them in pristine condition, and hope to sell them in the future for a better price.
The value goes up.
Absolutely. So they treat them as art. And we recognize that. So there's no road risk in these cases. So, you know, the risk is minimized quite significantly. So they're very happy to limit the coverage in those types of situations, and we're very happy to reflect that in the price as well.
Yeah. So it's very much tailor-made plans. You really can kind of, it's not one size fits all. It's really understanding the individual, the clients that you're working with,
absolutely.
And offering solutions for them themselves.
Yes, absolutely. I think a lot of people would like to have, you know, a standard price and just understand it, especially brokers. It's a lot easier to work with intermediaries and just say, here's our standard price. But for us, we need to know the occupation of the client. We ask a lot of questions. We do a lot of research on our clients. And if we're happy with everything, you know, we can be very competitive and ensure we land that client.
Very interesting to kind of hear about the product and the differences and what's involved. Who is this type of product for?
Typically, I mean, we define them as affluent, high net worth individuals. We don't really have a minimum threshold per se. We look at it on a case-by-case basis. I mean, you could have rich people that store all their money in the bank. That doesn't really work for us. There's not much to insure in that case. And then we have clients with, you know, obviously multiple cars, multiple homes. And that's our typical client, is the ones that have multiple cars, jewelry, collections, art, you know, a nice value of contents.
Yeah.
And we do a great job there because we send our surveyors there. They evaluate, they help the client understand their risks. And in those cases, this is where we differentiate ourselves from the market. And these are the types of clients that we like.
Okay.
But I mean, there's really no definition. We are very selective in the sense that if the client presents a risky proposition, a race car driver, for example, maybe that's not the client that we would look for. However, a CEO of a large company, you know, that's a vastly different profile, which we'd be very keen to ensure.
Yeah, and I bet you're talking about, you know, multiple cars and collections, homes and so on. I can imagine that there's been some incredible collections that you've come across and that you've seen, whether it's jewelry or cars, for example.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we've seen some beautiful homes, some fantastic collections. Unfortunately, I can't disclose.
Of course, no. Too much, but you've seen them.
Yes, we've seen them. And we make an effort to do that because in a lot of cases, the clients don't understand the risk that they face. So we can go in there and help them understand. And we use the brokers, of course, as well to fully understand areas that they should be insuring and areas that maybe they don't really need that insurance or they can protect themselves in other ways.
So it's also like additional advice. You know, someone may request, I've got a collection of vehicles, cars, let's say, but actually you can then go in and say, well, this is what you should have, this is what else you could have, perhaps, and,
yes,
and do
yes,
it that way.
Yes, yes, yes. So in cases like, for example, of car insurance, where somebody has a collection, you don't want the two most expensive cars parked side by side.
Okay.
So that's something we would only understand once we go visit the client.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a very simple advice that we can give them. Maybe the two most expensive cars can be parked on opposite ends of the garage, yeah, so yeah, there's no aggregation.
That's a great tip.
Yeah. And then obviously, because of the water damage that we're experiencing in the UAE with the rainfalls as well, burst pipes are a very common loss in the UAE. So we want to make sure that they're elevated in some capacity. So homes that are on the same level as the street where the garage maybe is sunken, that poses a bigger risk for us.
Yeah.
And these clients, they often have items that are irreplaceable. Mm-hmm. So they don't want a claim. You know, when you have a classic car that's appreciating in value, they'd prefer that they don't see a loss on that. Or if they have maybe a family heirloom that's quite expensive, they don't want to lose that. So their intent is not to have a loss and then claim cash for it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't help them in any way. So what they would appreciate this advice of a voice to protect their jewelry, their fine art, their cars, and all their other assets, which is what we do best. We send our engineers out there. They advise the clients exactly how to minimize the losses, how to mitigate them, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I can see that. Even just that tip of moving the cars, like it can, I guess, can make a big difference, and just giving that support and that advice as well. So
yes.
And looking at it, kind of the, you know, obviously building up partnerships with these clients, I guess, directly, and then also via brokers. What do you kind of look for with a broker partner, for example?
Okay, so as I mentioned before, knowing the client is very important for us. So we need to know their occupation. We need to know where they reside, their source of income, their source of wealth.
Okay.
Of course, there's a lot of anonymity with the types of clients that we deal with. So at the beginning, maybe we don't really need to disclose too much, but we need to start going in the right direction. So with that said, either we need to have direct access to the client so we can ask all the relevant questions, or the broker needs to. Any broker that approaches us and says, okay, I have a client and I won't mention anything about them, but they have a 10 million dirham car, can you give me a quote? That's definitely not a type of broker that we would like to work with. So the brokers that we typically work with are ones that understand their clients, that know their clients, that when you speak to the broker, they can list everything that you need to know about the client. Puts us in a better position to give them adequate cover. And puts a client in a better position, because ultimately the brokers are responsible for what they advise the client. And then we're also responsible at the end, should there be a claim. We don't want the client to be misled in any way. So we have to trust our brokers to inform the clients about all of the coverages that they require. Okay. More importantly, all the exclusions that are listed in the policy, so that at the time of a claim, there's no misunderstanding.
So it's interesting, you mentioned before as well about the importance of information. So obviously you need to know about the clients, you need to know what you're looking at, what you're working with, and ultimately that will help you to provide the best options, the best solutions for the client at the end of the day.
Yes. So what we do is different than what we do normally under the retail and personal line. So although we sit under that umbrella for insurance purposes, we operate more of a commercial business because those are the types of risks we write. Our frequency is a lot less, our volume is a lot less, so we try to understand each risk on its own. So for every risk that comes to us, we need to make sure that we understand the profile very well, we explain to the client exactly what they're looking for, we underwrite it individually. So what you normally see with a retail portfolio of motor, they would just get a list of questions and then a quote comes out of the system. Of course, there's some exceptions to that, but it's generally usually that simple. Yeah. It's driven by the actuarial results of the portfolio. But for us, every risk is so unique, you know, so we can't say, oh, we've seen this client, type of client before, let's price them the same. So we have so many factors, an infinite amount of factors that we can review. And then we would decide, okay, is this a risk that we want? How do we price it adequately? How do we add enough exclusions or remove exclusions?
Yeah.
You know, whatever we have to do to make sure that the client's happy and that we're comfortable taking that risk. The losses can be quite significant, as you can imagine, so we have to be very careful. When you have a home that you're insuring that's worth well over $100 million, jewelry collections worth $20, $30 million, a car that's worth $10 million, $15 million. So we've seen all of those risks. And we cannot absorb such losses easily. So we need to ensure that we underwrite them prudently.
So on the back of the current situation that we've been going through here and worldwide, what's your views on sort of the situation with COVID-19 and the insurance industry, and particularly with the kind of high net worth segment?
First of all, I mean, I'd like to commend the UAE government for the steps that they've taken. I mean, they reacted very quickly with the lockdown and then the removal of the lockdown. the ample testing everywhere, it's just been handled so well. So we were very fortunate to live in a country that allowed people to go back to a sense of normalcy quite quickly. So what it started off in March, where we were very concerned about how this would go, but you know, we very quickly rebounded, and we're very happy that, you know, the future looks very bright from now. And AXA has done a fantastic job. And more specific to AXA Gulf, as a global insurance brand with a purpose of acting for human progress by protecting what matters, we did everything we could during the crisis to safeguard people's health and well-being.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic.
So when you have less people driving and traveling, you would, of course, expect people to see that there's just no risk anymore, so might as well not insure. We did see even a few motor insurance policies lapsing. And of course, nobody's traveling, so the travel insurance. But at the same time, of course, if people aren't driving, the frequency of claims is less on motor. And motor being such a dominant line of business in the UAE, that's had a positive impact. But it was short-lived anyway. I mean, as I said before, the government has reacted very quickly. So by May and June, everybody was out on the roads again. And look at us now. We're you know, September time. Can I mention the month? Now we're in September time, and schools are back, and everyone's driving again. The traffic congestion.
Yes, certainly back.
I mean, it was a rough time in the middle there, but thankfully we're over the hardest bit, and we're very optimistic about how this year will end.
That's good. So it seems like you say, and I kind of echo what you said about the government here as well. The way everything's been done is very, very impressive indeed. And you know, we are kind of back to some kind of normality now, and it's great to see, and you know, everything's moving forward, and seems like quite a positive outlook from the future. So kind of going forward, are you optimistic, are you positive about the future within this space that we're talking about?
Absolutely. I mean, I speak for high net worth, and what we've seen is affluent people and high net worth individuals bounce back and rebound a lot faster than the rest of the demographics. And we've seen now travel come back, and you know, that's also an indication of the economy rebounding. If people have money to travel and go on vacation, of course they have money to spend on other assets, such as, you know, more cars and more jewelry.
Well, hopefully on the back of people being locked away, maybe not being able to spend the money and not being able to travel, there'll be more travel, and there'll be more purchases being made, perhaps now that we're opening up a little bit more.
Yes, we're absolutely hopeful. I mean, we do expect to meet our budget by the end of the year. So, and recent studies have shown the UAE continues to attract high net worth individuals. A recent study that I read that they expect the high net worth individual population to grow by 4% every year going into 2025. Our space, I'm confident about. So I'm very hopeful that we'll continue to grow and hopefully dominate this space.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it sounds like it, as I say, great product, great service as well, very, very important, and a positive outlook going forward. So if there are people out there watching this, and I'm sure there'll be many people that want to kind of just reach out and have a chat and maybe get some advice, get a little bit more of your experience and expertise, are they able to reach out and contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm available on LinkedIn.
Okay. Yeah, of course. That's good.
On LinkedIn, and ask me any questions, and I'm happy to support and help.
Perfect. Well, I want to say thank you very much, because it's been very insightful. It's been very interesting indeed. And yeah, nice to kind of finish on a very positive note and outlook going forward. And I'm sure it will continue to sort of grow that way. So yeah, really valuable. So yeah, thank you very much, Sami, for your time today. And I'm sure we'll do it again at some point, for sure.
Thank you very much, Lee. It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.